Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome, everybody, to the season 3 premiere of The Psychologists Are In. Crazy, I know. I'm Maggie Lawson.
And I'm her podcast partner in crime, Timothy Ombudson.
And for this episode, it's just me and Tim talking about episode 1, Ghosts. This is the one where Sean must find a way to keep Gus solving crimes with him and play referee to Henry and his recently returned mama. All right, you guys, enjoy. Hi, Tim. I feel a little rusty. We haven't done this in a little bit.
I know, it's be a little off. My equipment was a total shambles getting set up this morning. By the way, darling listeners, you might hear my voice. I got a little bit of the crud. Feeling a little bit like garbage, but this is the episode where I will play hurt. So just do not fear. I'm going to give it my top laster all to make this possibly the best episode ever. By the way, I was going to wear a tuxedo today for today's episode. It's a very special episode.
It is. It's a very special episode.
Season 3. It's a big celebration.
It's our premiere. It was our premiere. And there was like a huge cliffhanger after season 2. So it was really major on with Sybil Shepherd coming back, Sean's mom, and also the role she plays with you. I actually forgot, like, that whole evaluation thing, I had forgot about it. It's so great.
Did we get a shot of my special mug for the episode yet?
Oh, yes, please. Wait, so this is in the episode, right?
This actual mug is not in the episode, but it'll come up. Got a little ginger ale. I should be drinking tea, but I'm not. This is Laster's favorite pistol grip mug. Which there's a lot of Laster to gun stuff in this episode, which we'll get to.
There was.
So Maggie, happy season 3 of The Psychologists Are In.
Happy season 3, Tim.
I can't believe we're already on season 3. And
it is going so
thank everybody
fast.
For showing up every week. I assume you're showing up or downloading, listening, whatever you're doing.
Absolutely.
We would not be here if you were not still listening.
We love you all so much. And we're having so much fun going back and rewatching these episodes and reliving all these memories. And it's just crazy. This would have been 08, I believe. Yeah,
sure.
I think this would have been 2008, so this would be like season 3. And I still, Tim, whenever I hear you cough.
By the way, just so y'all know what an amazing, how lucky I am to have a Maggie Lawson in my life. I feel bad for all of you because you don't have a Maggie in your life. Maybe you have your own version of Maggie, but here's just an example of what kind of friend Maggie Lawson is. So my wife, Allison, she's got sick with the COVID. Lily, my oldest, she's got the COVID. I probably have something. Mm-hmm. I keep testing negative, so don't worry. Don't start writing. There's no need for a GoFundMe yet.
Oh my God.
But I think it's just early stages of cold crap. So yesterday morning on my porch is a care package from my best friend Maggie with bottles of zinc, vitamin C, vitamin E, D, and lozenges.
Yeah.
Because I had some of those things I didn't have. I didn't have zinc, which is a super important one. So I was texting with Maggie yesterday, just giving my health update, like you do.
I was like, what are your symptoms? Says, what is happening? What day is it? Again.
She says, remind me of your address. I'm not even out of bed yet, because I'm just, like I said, I was laying low. By the time I get out of bed, there's already a care package of vitamins and immunity boosters on my doorstep for all of us in my house.
Yeah, of course they did that. I also was a little bit like, I feel very protective of you guys, and I just had this, so I know what I think helped me through it, and obviously talking to you every day helped me through it, but the vitamins and things, I just wanted to make sure you guys had it all, and I know it's really hard because Allison's down, and you all can't get stuff, and I just wanted to make sure you had everything you needed so you can get well.
Well, thank
you can
the
be
sweet
well.
Heavens for Maggie Lawson.
Well, I love you, and I love Allison, and I love Lily, I love your whole family, and Nora, and everybody.
And so we all love you.
Yeah. Anyway, and y'all are going to get through it, and it's going to be all right. It's just going to really suck for a few days. But
your daily advice has already helped us a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Good. I don't know. I feel like I'm a little aggressive with my, like, do you have this? Are you doing this? What about this? What are your symptoms?
And it was, no, I don't have that. No, I'm not doing that. Should I be? Should I get that?
Yeah.
And I didn't have it until Maggie shows up. Hey, let's dig into the episode.
Hey, let's get into the episode.
Was that too harsh of a segue? Sorry.
No, I loved it. Also, wait, Tim, what do you call it? A premonition or a, yes. So I have to call out my Sybil Shepherd experience because.
Oh, you're six degrees of, yeah.
Yeah, my 6 degrees of there. When I was 16 or 17, very new to this business, one of my very first jobs was this character on a show, on Sybil's show. So Sybil Shepherd had a sitcom called Sybil, where she was on a sitcom in the show. Everyone on the show was so good. It was crazy. It was like Peter Krause, well, Sybil Shepherd, Christine Baranski, Peter Krause, Alicia Witt, like everybody's fantastic. And I got to play her sitcom daughter in an episode, and I'm just a terror. I am awful. I am so full of myself, and I have tattoos, and I'm like 16 years old.
That's acting.
It was so much fun.
Have the psychos found this footage yet and posted it?
Oh, they have. Yes. I get sent.
Well, you got to send it to me because I missed it.
I get sent photos a lot. It's very funny. They call me because I think a lot of them are actually even now older than I was when I did that on Sybil. So they call me Grandma, which is not nice. And I love it all at the same time. but yes, they have all found the footage. And I love that one. It was one of my most favorite jobs. Honestly, it stands out in my head. So when she came, I was so excited to see her. And she totally remembered. And we got to reminisce about that time. And what a wild thing. Like, you know, maybe 9, 10 years later, a decade later, she is Sean's mom. And anyway, so that was very, very cool.
That's kind of crazy and kismic.
It totally was. And I really love her. Okay. So, Tim, you want to go? You want to jump in?
Before I do, I just want to say, before we get into it.
Yes.
Darling listeners, you're in for such a treat this season because season 3 is really when, Max and I have talked about this in the past, I think our show is really starting to fire on all cylinders. And season 3 is chock full of psychotic episodes.
It really, really is. I'm so excited. Look, love season 1. Love season 2. Obviously, you guys have heard us gushing about all of it. But I feel as a show, I'm with you, Tim. This is like season 3 is when it kicks into gear. On like all cylinders. Like not just the silly, not just the action, not just the relationships. It's all of that every episode. And we kind of like there's like a nice... Like, we start to serialize it a bit as well. Like, relationships start to develop, and we follow them, and it's just... I'm very excited.
It's so good.
It's so good. Chef's kiss
motion.
Yes, absolutely.
It's so good. And I'm really excited to take this trip down memory lane in season 3 with you.
Me too. I can't wait, Tim.
For our darling listeners.
Because we... And the memories are so vivid. I feel like starting these seasons, like, the memories are still... They're closer. They're almost, like, closer than the others. So I'm excited, too. I'm so excited. I think this... Was this the first year we did Comic-Con as well?
No.
Was that 3 or 4?
Figure out dates?
I don't remember. We'll have to figure that out. And upfronts in New York. Like, when all of our, like... We started to actually understand that we had a... We had fans. People were actually watching the show.
Well, the Comic-Con, anyway, that first time we did was such a wacko experience. I think we've talked about this in the past.
Yeah.
Because we were working in Vancouver. Nobody saw the show in Canada, really. No, so we arrived at San Diego Comic-Con. And they put us in, I think it was Ballroom H, which is the biggest.
The biggest one.
It's like seats thousands of people.
Yeah.
And we were all terrified that...
There'd be five people.
And then we, lo and behold... We walk on the stage, on the dios, and there's thousands of these beautiful psychos. And there was a line around Comic-Con to get into our panel.
We were deeply moved.
Kind of like, holy crap, we might have something on the show.
It was such a moment. And honestly, like that is a true surprise, like a truly unexpected moment. I remember us being backstage because they showed a clip. And before we came out, or I think that's when we came out to the panel, we were trying to listen at first to see if anyone was laughing or if anybody was there. And then we like walk out and it's dark. And when the lights came on, we just lost our minds a little bit. We were all like, this is crazy. I think even I remember looking over, I feel like James was even a little nervous, and you never see him nervous. Like, it was just such a moment for all of us. It was great.
There's a picture I recently sent you of just you and I on the panel. I can't remember if that was the first one. I got to look at the date and see.
I don't remember. I remember you sending me the picture, but I have pictures of us from the panel. We did photos like this, like I think even before selfies were a thing, but and that would have been the last one. That was the last, I think, Comic-Con we did before the movie, when we did the one for the movie. But yeah.
Somebody had a stroke and wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. Someone who had a stroke and wasn't there.
Oh, Maggie, I got to text you.
Okay. Tell
me
later.
Sitting down? Oh, you are sitting down. I had a stroke.
Oh.
I'm okay, though.
It was you? Tim, I had no idea. I would never know.
Oh, yeah. It was this whole big thing. It was in the papers. And
that's why you weren't there.
It was rather traumatic.
I could just sit here and giggle with you for an hour and talk about all those memories. And that could easily be our episode.
For as crappy as I was feeling today, going, yeah, I don't want to get out of bed. But I knew that seeing my resident ray of sunshine was going to perk me up and you'd be the medicine that I needed.
Damn. It's true. I was looking forward to it too, because we've been texting so much through, you know, through all the COVID and all the hoping you're going to feel better very soon. You are. But it's so good to see your face. It's just so good to see your face always. Let's go. Episode 1, season 3, Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Are you going to give ghosts?
Ooh, ghosts.
Yes.
Spooky ghosts.
I wonder if ghost is the new murder. Ghost. Instead of murder.
Instead of okay. Murder. Yes. Ghost.
Okay. Sorry, guys. We will get back on track. All right. pineapple sighting. There is a pineapple. I missed this entirely. There's a pineapple on the island in Henry's kitchen, and there's a pineapple on Mr. Havisham's kitchen counter.
I got one later, too.
Oh, really? Okay, but, we'll get there. Oh, my gosh.
For me, who never really finds the pineapple, I was very excited to come up with this one.
I love it.
I'll wait till we get to that scene.
Okay. Cold open. It's 1995. This we have to talk about. We have to talk about James's hair. In 1995, Henry and his partner locate a stolen vehicle in the woods. Flashlight in hand, Henry walks up to the car only to find Sean making out with the punk girl in the front seat. With Sean in cuffs, they arrive at the station where Henry asks, Beanpole... A young Devin, a young mustachioed lassie.
I was very mustachioed, yes.
You were very mustachioed. This is very funny. Oh my God, you were adorable. And now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. How well would you take care of your car if you had to keep the same one your entire life? That's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them that way? How we care for our minds affects how we experience life. So it is important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy. There are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps. There's also BetterHelp online therapy. I know one thing I do is I like to shut my phone off for a while during the day. It just helps me center and recharge when you can't reach for it and you can't be reached for just a little while. It does something that it kind of just makes you focus a little bit more on yourself and get quiet for a minute. That's just something I love to do. Also love me a power nap, but I also love BetterHelp. So I've done this before because I wanted to be able to talk about it properly. They really have perfected the ease of being able to sign up for therapy and have a therapist there for you in very little time. It's very easy and they tailor it to your comfort level. BetterHelp Online Therapy offers phone, video, and even live chat only therapy sessions so that you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/pineapple. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/pineapple.
This was really fun to get ready for that. And this was a psych first. Not just season three first, but psych first. It was the first time I ever saw Laster in his full uniform, in his cop blues.
That's so true.
So that they gave me this great mustache, which was foreshadowing to my mustache in Deadwood. Although that one had a little wax, so it was a little cooler. Mm-hmm. But I remember it was so long ago. I mean, Adina, our beautiful and wonderful hair person, she had to darken my hair with like some brown mousse because I was already starting to go gray. So they had to make me look as young as they possibly could with that I make my hair
almost jet black,
just like mud brown.
I love it. You looked fantastic. I thought you looked fantastic. But hold on, we have to talk about James's hair just for a second.
Fabulous.
It was so good. I have to say, I mean, I know Adina did his hair as well. Like that wig, first off, it's thick. It looks like his hair. And it's like the perfect color. It is ridiculous and wonderful. And I love that they did that. I thought it was such a good throwback or such a good, time, 1995. He would have been what? How old is Sean here?
I can't remember. Did he have an earring in the
15?
Episode?
I think he did. I think he had an earring.
Because if he didn't, that would have been a horribly missed opportunity.
Absolutely. I think he must have. Okay. Cut back to normal time. Gus is back at the office on the phone with Sean while he stresses about his mom being downstairs. This scene was so sweet. I was like...
A couple of things I noticed. And when Sean's in his bedroom.
Yeah.
Talking to Gus because he's so scared about his mom. So he's got a Jaws poster up, which I was like, that's a little weird. I think Jaws came out in like 70-something or other. It was so the timing was off. This episode was 95. But I can't do dates anymore, so I probably shouldn't even go down this.
Oh, I think he was just a Jaws fan. Didn't Steve mention that before, that he purposely put that Jaws poster in frame or in there?
Foreshadowing to the Head, the Tail, the Whole Damn Episode.
The what?
Oh! The Head, the Tail, the Whole Damn Episode.
Right!
Our Jaws episode. Did you notice what else was sitting on his chest of drawers?
I wrote down a couple of things. He brought up the Furby.
When he's looking at his drawer, he goes, dude, I just found an unopened box of Shrinky Dinks.
And Shrinky Dinks. It was very, very good. Very good.
On his chest drawers, he had an LP single. So I guess maybe it's not an LP. He had a vinyl record of Twisted Fears, the single of Shout.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not foreshadowing, because we already did that episode. But I thought that was a great tie-in.
Yes, but foreshadowing to having Kurt Smith on, I guess, because we hadn't had that yet.
There you go. You just saved me.
Yeah, you still got it right, Tim. You still got it right. Don't discredit yourself.
Okay, thank you, Matt. You're such a good friend.
I loved this scene because I thought the way James played it was... And this happened in the last one too, in the finale as well, when it came to like his mom and dad, because we all do this with our parents where we revert to exactly who we were when we were like kids. He kind of like reverts to a child and he's talking to him and he's kind of pouting and he's frustrated and there's all these feelings coming up and he doesn't know what to do with them. And I just thought like James always did such a good job of holding that, the kind of tone of Psych, but still allowing all those actual like real feelings and things that we do come up. Like we totally buy it. Like he's kind of a child.
No, that's just how damn good he is. Just walking that high wire act of playing the funny, but still playing the real.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
And punching it with some feels.
Enter Super Shibble Shepherd now. In the kitchen, Sean and his parents awkwardly catch up. Sean thinks Henry is trying to sabotage him for some reason. This scene is also very sweet. Gus meets with his boss. Who is his boss? Well, this is one boss, right? Then there's the bigger boss, right? But
there's the
first
sub-boss.
Yes. Where he explains that Gus isn't allowed to have a second job, where Gus is then put in a position where he has to choose between his passion project or real-life adult job. And let's talk about that boss for a second.
Our pal Todd Stashwick.
We love Todd Stashwick so much. This was also a little premonition to another show, because I work with Todd in Justified.
One of my favorite shows that I could never even get a... it's not that I couldn't get an audition. I could never get on that damn show. I love that show because
Gary
Palomine. I just so badly wanted to be on that show.
I loved it
Could not get on. I think I only got like one or two auditions.
Well, you got Deadwood though, so you got a version. But
you're right. I win.
And some Oliphant. But I Justified for me was like, first off, I got to do my Kentucky accent, which was
you're really
so
good in that
fun.
Accent, by the way.
Oh, thank you. It was one of my favorite things I ever did because I was like, I got to be a villain, and I feel like I never really get to do that. And it's fun because I kill Todd. I actually, I'm stealing organs. It doesn't matter, and then selling them. It's a horrible, thing.
What season and number episode it was?
Oh yeah, the episode was called "Thick as Mud." And Todd and I, it was so fun because Todd and I, he had just done, I did that right around this time. And it was so fun because we got to talk about all of our fun psych memories.
He's a corrupt prison guard or something?
Yes, yes. He was, I think. And then this guy, Clayne Crawford, is in it. And then Adam Arkin directs it.
I remember that.
And I loved Adam Arkin. I worked with Adam Arkin when he was acting in a pilot I did in 2001. And so it was just a really cool reunion. And then I got to work with Oliphant on Santa Clarita Diet again. Oliphant would have been really fun to have on Psych as well. Ooh, maybe Psych the movie 4, considering you and I have both worked with him and love him too. But Stashwick is just one of those like great... He's such a good actor, but he's also the nicest person. And we had so much fun with him at Comic-Con always. He'd always find us. And anyway, we love you, Todd Stashwick. Okay, cue the season 3 opening credits. Yay! Back at the station, Sean walks his mom around. Lassie simultaneously meets with Chief Vic about how he loads his weapon too often. Chief Vic mentions that he has to go to a mandatory meeting with a therapist. Okay, your response... to her saying, you have discharged your weapon during the last four, what were they? I don't know.
Like the last four cases or something like that.
Four cases. Your response is thank you.
Thank you.
She's like, no. No, sir. That's not a compliment.
This is one of the first, it wasn't the first time Kirsten and I really worked together because we'd worked together and obviously a lot in the her baby episode.
Yeah.
But this was kind of the first more mature Laster and Chief Vic scene we got to do.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I like seeing you guys together. I feel like we don't see you together very much, like you said. It's a very cute scene. Okay, Gus's office. Sean is eating at the water cooler with some ladies. Sean's upset because Gus broke up with him via text. Cut to Gus attempting to lift Sean out of the building, and Sean pulls his boneless nonsense. This is such an iconic, psychonic scene.
The very psych first, the first boneless.
And the psychonic dragging, which I think is in every single, even with all the opening credits and how often they change and everything we do, that moment is in all of them. It is so funny. And there it then kicks off the boneless of it all. Gus's boss's boss, Mr. Havisham, asks him and Sean to help him figure out if there are ghosts in his home.
Played by the handsome and incredibly talented Chris McDonald.
Yes, who came to play.
He was really funny and super fun. He was a great guy for us.
Yeah, he really was. We were very excited to have him, and he had a ball. Like we jumped right in. At the station, Lassie meets with Sean's mom and makes it impossible for her to start the session with all of his preliminary questions.
Sorry, I've got a psych first.
Oh, tell.
It is the first time in the history of the psychologists are in. There's actually a character who's an actual psychologist.
That's so true. Oh my gosh. Right? Is that so? That is true. We need to have Civil Shepherd on.
God, if we could get Sybil, that'd be amazing.
We got to get Sybil on. We've got to get her
Steve
on.
Steve was talking
on
the last episode about how he named the character Maddie, obviously for Moonlighting. I just remember like being really nervous to shoot these scenes with her because She's a big TV star.
She's a huge TV star. Well, luckily we have more episodes with her. Let's get her on. Okay, Gus arrives at Mr. Havisham's home alone at night. He sees a white figure out of the corner of his eye. Turns out it's Sean in Mr. Havisham's pajamas.
Was it a ghost? Spooky ghost.
Thank you, Tim. Yes. All right. Sean notices a ring in numerous photographs, but in one, it's missing. Back at the police station, Juliet runs in wearing a...
You're wearing a Pepto-Drink blouse.
A Pepto-Drink blouse, a Pepto-Pink blouse, and that's the last we see of Jules in the entire episode, Devin wrote. It's true. It's a very cute moment with us, but it's so funny. It's just this one scene. Same with the chief. Okay, back to the police station, blah, blah, blah. While drinking hot chocolate at Mr. Haversham's home. Yes, Tim.
I'm going to have this, like, premonition. Mm-hmm. When I refer to the fact that I did the therapy session in character as Tom, Machine Gun Tommy Enoch.
Yes, from Heartbreak.
Heartbreak Ridge, a Clint Eastwood character, which is a Tom Gunny Highway. So it's the first time I reference Clint Eastwood, who's obviously one of Carlton's inspirations for this in life and is this character. Here's a little insider for all y'alls. Season one, I had a conversation with Steve Franks. Well, I said, I've been thinking about this. And I think Lasseter thinks he's kind of Dirty Harry. And he's like, he definitely thinks he's Dirty Harry. But he goes, however, you're not Dirty Harry Callahan. You're Hal Holbrook, meaning you're the by-the-book chief of police. And I was like, that sounds boring to play. I mean, I was thinking, I don't want to play that. I want to play Dirty Harry. So, Steve, if you're listening, and I know you are, just put on some music to listen to this part. So I ignored you and just played Dirty Harry anyway.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Well, Steve obviously loved it as well. All right. While drinking hot chocolate at Mr. Havisham's home, Sean and Gus notice a ghost. They decide to go investigate.
A ghost. That's so much better. Yours are so much better than mine.
They decide to investigate. Gus's choice, actually. Back at the therapy session, Lassie reveals he's going through a divorce and simultaneously ogles over his, yes?
Pineapple sighting. There's a lamp in the corner of the office, which I think is Vic's office. There's a pineapple built into the base of the lamp.
Stop it.
I was very
proud of it. How did you catch that?
It was even with the cold coming on, I figured that one out.
That's amazing. See?
Okay, technically not the base, but the stand of the land.
Oh my God, I love it. Now I want to go back and find that. He reveals he's going through divorce. He simultaneously ogles over his prized possession, his gun.
There's this great line which says, you were talking about your gun yesterday. Can I see your gun? I'm so excited to show her my gun. And here's a little foreshadowing. So the way Lassiter takes out his weapon and clears it, he makes it safe to give to somebody. So it takes out the mag, makes sure there's not a bullet in the chamber, which is foreshadowing to Lassie did a bad, bad thing. In this episode, we got to make sure we say that it was directed by the glorious Steve Sergic.
Who became
a great friend of ours and one of our favorite directors. Steve kind of saw what I was doing with the gun. And in Lassie did a bad, bad thing, at the end of one of the big scenes where I get to jump on the bad guy, I pulled my sidearm out of the bowl of pistachios. Steve said, hey, at the end of the scene, give me something cool with the gun. And then we went to change lighting. So I said, okay. And this leads to the iconic no-look bullet catch. I popped the bullet out of the chamber and
it's so cool.
Catch it with my I've never looked cooler in my life, and I never will look cooler on film again.
It is the coolest.
So the guy asked, I stole that from the pilot of Breaking Bad. There's a scene where Bryan Cranston's brother-in-law is a tough guy cop. He keeps wanting him to show him his gun, and Bryan doesn't want to hold the gun. So he pops the bullet out, and I just remember thinking, that looks really cool. I want to learn how to do it one day. So I think during lighting said, if I asked our prop man or woman, I think it was a prop guy at the time. So how do you do that thing? So he taught me how to clear the chamber and pop that. It became one of my favorite gun tricks. And also, not to get too much into the gun, this is the gun I'm showing Stuart Shepard was my I think my Glock 9mm. And then eventually, this is before Lassiter moved on to his Colt 1911, which was as Ralph Fournier, who was our great armorer, took me out shooting one day. Said, I'm going to leave the show. I know I look like I know how to shoot. I'd actually really like to learn how to shoot. And Rob, actually, I don't know if you know this, Maggie, Rob was one of the best shots in the Canadian Army.
Yes, I knew that. Incredible.
See, how dare I just mansplain you that I assume you didn't know.
No, but I knew this about him. Like, he was as good as
like,
he gets.
Won like NATO shooting competitions.
Yeah. Gaps in the diet should not be ignored. Over 97% of women age 19 to 50 are not getting enough vitamin D from their diet, and 95% are not getting enough of their daily recommended intake of key omega-3s. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin was formulated by exhaustive research to help fill nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 plus. It is formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. That's so many things, you guys. But Ritual didn't stop there. They invested in a gold standard university-led clinical trial to prove the impact of Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin. The results? Essential for Women 18 Plus was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in 12 weeks. That's a lot. In normal, less sciencey terms, that means it's good and it works. We deserve to know what we are putting into our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something that we take every single day. Ritual just released Symbiotic Plus, a gut health supplement with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic, all in one minty capsule. That's right. Just one delayed release Symbiotic Plus capsule per day supports your gut with all the quality and traceability you expect from Ritual. You guys, how nice it is to take just one of these pills. Like I feel like on a supplement level, we can just get completely overwhelmed with this. It's like everybody's telling you to take a different thing. I love that you can take one. And then if you take the Symbiotic, you take the other. It's that they cover everything. They make it so easy and it's proven. Right now, Ritual is offering our listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Visit ritual.com/pineapple and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That is 10% off at ritual.com/pineapple.
So we went to the gun range one time and his personal weapon was a Kimber 1911 45, which if you're into guns, it's like a Porsche of handguns. That day he said, I think last year he's listening to a little more stopping power. So that's when I moved from the Glock to the 1911, which of course in Last Night Gus, that 1911 plays very prominently. Mm. My baby, as I call it. And that's another episode. I'm digressing.
No, I love it. I'm just listening. So this one is still this is before you graduate.
This is before I graduated up to a more powerful something.
But it is where you learn to do the Lassie did a bad, bad thing. Very, very cool moment. Very cool move.
Well, I think it was just because Sergic saw I knew how to do things with the guns. So he was like, it was months and probably a couple of years later that we did Lassie did a bad, bad thing. And he brought that back. So
yeah,
he just stored that in the back of his hard drive somewhere.
Sean has to leave the haunted ghost house at night because he has dinner plans with his mother, but all of the lights in the home flicker repeatedly. Gus and Mr. Havisham keep receiving calls on the phone.
Which, unless while Sean's getting ready to leave,
yeah,
he's holding his motorcycle helmet.
And we never, yes, again, like, but we never see him on the motorcycle. See the motorcycle.
He's got like a single motorcycle key and he's holding his helmet.
Yep. That's it. We're not going to see that motorcycle again.
I don't think it was ever discussed or seen again.
Yes. All right. They decide to split up and investigate. Actually, I do think we see it again. I think we see it in Daredevils, but...
Oh, you're probably right.
Let's see. Gus opens the attic door only to find Sean making all of the scary noises. Turns out Sean was haunting his boss's house the entire time.
Pretend to be a ghost. Spooky ghost. Spooky ghost.
I loved this. Okay, hold on. We'll get to this in a second. At the station, Lassie has a massive realization and feels liberated. Only to realize, after spilling all of his secrets, the therapist was Sean's mom. I love this. I wrote down, I love Lassie talking about his dreams and talking about like all this. I loved it.
It was such a gift of a scene to have written for me.
Yeah, it was Lassie so good.
Getting to like regress into his child and go like inner thoughts and emotions.
Yeah. I love it.
We all know Lester's not a man who's comfortable with emotions.
No, it was really, really, really sweet. And you play it so well. You actually look liberated. You look relaxed and liberated. And then you're like, you know, who's your son? And
I was just trying not to be bad in front of Cilla Shepherd.
You did not. You were so great. The scenes between the two of you are so good. Gus and Sean arrive at Gus's office, only to have Gus almost fired because the Goss realized it was Sean haunting him the entire time. Sean tells Mr. Havisham that he knows that what he's illegally doing. He ends up getting Gus's job back plus a raise. I love that Sean did that for Gus. Like, I feel like he is always, like, pulling him into situations. Gus is reluctant. He convinces him. He drugs him in a scene in season one. Like, he just does so much shit to him. And then this moment that, like, he might lose his job and I don't know. It's so elaborate. And I was like, this is so sweet. This was actually very sweet.
We have a season three first here coming
what?
Up. So after he gets fired, they go back in the hallway. We see mm-hmm. Todd Stastwick again.
Again.
Whose character was Odenkirk, I think. But Gus Dulade refers to Todd Stastwick's character. Says, so, see that guy? And we get the first, his hair's horrible, from Sean.
That's right. Oh, that's right. I also wanted to mention that he visits Alice Bundy in prison, Sean. That's where he gets so many of his ideas. And Alice Bundy is from Scary Sherry because she's the crazy, crazy, crazy one. And I was like, Alice Bundy, why do I know that name? When he said, oh, I just visited Alice Bundy in prison to get some tips. Because she creates this whole like haunted house situation and yada, yada. So, and I'm like, oh my God, Scary Sherry. Okay. So this moment, Sean and his mom have a talk at the station about what went wrong during their divorce. Sean realizes that his mom was the one who left Henry and not vice versa. Cut to Henry adjusting his top in a mirror and dolling himself up for his ex-wife. Ah, I cried. Literally sitting on my couch this morning watching this, I cried. I thought this moment, the moment that it hits Sean, the look in his eye, well, her speech as well, it's very powerful, but that it hits Sean, that Henry has protected her by not telling him that story. And when he sees his dad in this new kind of vulnerable, like, light, it just broke my heart and warmed my heart. And like, it just was like, I feel like the moment was so good. It really got me.
Your heart got a workout today. It was broken and warm.
It was. It was. Honestly, I thought that moment was really special. And it's funny because I kind of forgot about it. And
again, a moment for Corbin where no dialogue, just playing a beat.
We feel everything, the hope and the vulnerability and like, and then the confusion in Sean's eyes and like that, oh my God, his dad has been so good. Okay. That's the episode. Now we have some fan questions, Tim.
Questions.
This is funny. Since Juliet wasn't in this episode as much, what did you end up doing with your free time? My guess is I was in LA. My guess is that if I saw I worked one day on the schedule, I probably was in LA. Because that's what I would do if I had a lot of days off in a row. Or I'd like take a trip. Oh, wait.
Or you and I'd go walk the seawall.
We'd go walk the seawall, but you had a lot to do in this episode. So I didn't have my friend Tim as much. But I guarantee if I was in Vancouver, that's what we did. We probably walked the seawall, went to see a movie. You know, had some drinks, had some chats, maybe went shopping. I think I'm just going to stick to that. That's what we did. That's what happened. Because that's what we did all the time. Okay.
And the judges say, ding, correct answer.
That I love. That I love. Okay. If you were a ghost, who would be the first person?
Sorry, a what?
If you were a ghost, who would be the first person you'd haunt and what would you do? Oh, that's terrible. Who would be the first person I would haunt? I don't know. I don't want to haunt anybody. I don't want to scare anybody. Everything's too scary right now anyway. Tim, what would you, who would you haunt and what would you do?
We're getting very esoteric, everybody.
I know. I mean, I feel like, I don't know. I could probably think of a few people it would be funny to haunt. But
could you go back in time and haunt somebody from history?
Yes, let's say yes.
Of course, because there's no space-time contingent.
No, not in Ghostland.
Not in Ghostland. It's free reign.
So who would you haunt in the past? Oh, I thought you had somebody like on your mind if they were...
No, he does.
I think the whole point of being a ghost is that you don't have to haunt people who are dead because they're just like ghosts with you. So maybe the
wow, you totally just upped your game right there.
So I would say I would just hang out with my ghost friends all the time and come up with like some fun punk pranks we could do.
Like, I feel like haunt isn't scare or haunt isn't hang out and observe their life.
Oh, that might change things. Like, we could spy on things. You can spy on things as a ghost. No, this specifically says haunt. I don't know what we would do. And clearly we're not getting very far because now we're both imagining ourselves being ghosts and all we want to do is hang out with other ghosts.
It's really
we just find each other. I'd be like, Tim, where's ghost Tim? Let's hang out. Okay. Do either of you have ghost stories?
I actually have a real answer.
What?
I would haunt Bill Murray just because I don't want to hang out with Bill Murray and see what his life is like.
Love it. That is a great answer. I love that answer so much. So much. I actually do have a ghost. Do either of you have ghost stories to share? I have one. I had a slumber party when I was about, I don't know, I want to say I was maybe 12, 13. And it was the night that John Candy passed away. Hmm. And my room and my house when I was young had those, remember those like sticky glow-in-the-dark stars you could put on your ceiling or walls or whatever? They were kind of like plastic. Yeah, okay. So I had, of course, my entire ceiling was like filled with these like glow-in-the-dark stars. And I remember we were all talking about John Candy. And like we were like, oh, John Candy died. And we were talking about movies and we were talking about, and
I got to interject. I got to give you props here. To be a 12 or 13-year-old girl in Kentucky who's aware of and admiring and talking about John Candy.
Yes.
Good for you.
We were cool. And we were like, I forget how it came up, but we were like, what if he was like here? And I kid you not. Kid you not.
Hang on. Say it again, but exactly the same way.
Like, what if he were like here? That's my 14-year-old.
Mary Lou Baumgartner right there.
12, 13, 14-year-olds up. No, literally, and I'm getting to the moment that that happened. And one of the glow-in-the-dark stars fell off the ceiling.
I'll take it. Yeah, it was John.
For the rest of my life, I'm telling the story right now. Like, I remember this moment. And we screamed and squealed so loud that my mom literally thought like something horrible happened. And it's like all we did. And I still have the star. It is in a keepsake box in Kentucky. Yeah, I saved it because I was like, I'll never forget that night. Anyway, it's not really a great ghost story in that like I felt haunted, but it's just one of those like talking to the dead. And because we had been talking about him and we were like, John, give us a sign that you're here.
It sounds like John Candy is haunting you.
Maybe. And the star falls off the ceiling. And I'm still telling the story. I believe it was John sending a message. He was feeling us and we were feeling him.
Oh, 100% buy that.
Yeah. Do you have a ghost story, Tim?
I don't.
Okay, great. Well, there.
And
John
if I
Candy.
Did, it sure wouldn't be being haunted by John Candy.
Okay. What was your favorite part of this episode, Tim?
My least favorite part was Maggie not being in it enough and me not having enough scenes with Maggie.
Thank you, Tim.
Favorite part of the episode was getting to the scenes with Sybil and explore Lassiter's emotional side. Getting to play Lassiter going through his dream because he's so resistant to seeing a psychologist or in. Prior to that, I just went full circle.
You really did. You brought it back. We had the therapist, the psychologist are in. I love it. The psychologist.
Yeah, so he's so resistant. And then by the time he's two sessions in, he's hook, line, and sinker, all the total full believer. And he's grateful for it. He's grateful for the experience.
That's my favorite part of the episode, too, Tim.
It's the beginning of the softening of Lassiter.
It is. This is what I mean. This is season three. We move in. We start to move into these like relationships and these like emotional sides to all of us. Oh, Maggie, what was it like seeing Sybil again? I actually talked about that. Just like, what a dream. I loved it. I love that she remembered. We shared stories. It was the best. Any production changes between season two and three? The budget seems bigger, somebody wrote. My guess is maybe we got a little more for some episodes. I don't actually know the answer to that, but I do think our episodes get bigger in season three. And a little more complicated. And I think the guest stars also get bigger, which means more money. So maybe by now we were rolling. Yeah, rolling a little bit. Who in the cast is the supernatural skeptic and who is the believer? Ooh.
Well, Maggie's the believer.
I'm Jeff a believer.
I think Dulé is the skeptic, I would say. Just because Dulé, as he always likes to say, he's a God-fearing man.
Yeah. 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 I'd say Dulé probably is the skeptic. I'd say Rodé could be convinced. And I also think you could be convinced a teeny bit. The magic of believing.
Totally.
Okay, that's it. I think those are all of our questions. Yes. Ah, Tim, we did it.
Welcome to season 3, everybody.
Welcome to season 3. We did it.
And the psychologists are in.
Yeah.
Please continue to join us for more tomfoolery and psych love festing.
Yes. And we will have, well, what's next? So Bueller is next, which we'll see.
One of my favorite episodes ever.
I mean, talk about psychonic. Oh, my God. Ugh, I can't wait to talk about that one. But this was so fun. And Tim, I feel better. You absolutely, no one would know except for a little scratch in your voice. You're sharp as a tack.
Thanks to you bringing me over vitamin C and zinc, which I'm going to go inside and load up on right now.
Yeah, overdose on that C.
Although I'm going to be honest, I'm going to take a nap first.
Yeah, take a nap. Take a nap. You did your work. Your work is done. Good job. Thank you so much. I know it was like not ideal. And we love you and I love you. And we'll go rest now.
I go rest now.
Okay, psychos, thanks, we will see you next episode.
See you down the road, what Maggie said.
Yeah, we love
bye,
you.
Maggie, love you.
Okay, bye.
Goodbye.
What an amazing episode, even though I was barely in it. But next week's episode totally makes up for it. Anyway, thank you again for listening to season 3, episode 1 of The Psychologists Are In. Still cannot believe we are in season 3. Follow us on our Instagram at Psychologists Are In and our Twitter at Psychologist Pod. And Tim, please feel better. See you all next week.
This is The Confused Breakfast,
a movie podcast creating a lot of ruckus around the world.
We talk about classic movies the same way that you and your friends talk about them.
With a little bit of film buff knowledge thrown in because we just can't help ourselves.
If movie quotes are part of your daily vocabulary.
If you like to talk about fun fan theories.
If you've always wanted to punch a movie character in the face.
We're here to podcast for you.
From Back to the Future.
Ghostbusters.
The Shining, and so many more.
Check out The Confused Breakfast wherever you listen to podcasts.